And now I'm very happy to welcome conductor Kenneth Kiesler, as well as composer Enkiru Okoye. Now, you've been commissioned to write this piece called When the Cage Bird Sings, and
yes.
It's being performed here on February 10th, in Hill Auditorium. It's part of the UMS season and the UM School of Music, Theater, and Dance.
That's right. Can you
tell us about the piece itself?
Yeah. Well, it is a musical ceremony. We talked about this concept, what it was going to be, and I just thought when the pandemic is over, things started just as the big pandemic was beginning. And I thought when it is over, we're going to have a need to get together as a community and to heal as a community after all of the isolation. And I wrote down a concept for something, you know, just had it. And 3 weeks later, I get a message on my website, and it's from a conductor at University of Michigan. It says, "Hi, we want you to write a piece for orchestra, choir, soloists, and narrator." I thought, have I got a concept for you?
That's wonderful. Well, as you mentioned, this work combines so many different elements, so many different performers.
Yes.
What was your approach? I mean, did you have an idea in mind specifically of how it would work? You know, you talk about your idea of what it was.
Right.
How it would work?
You know, a lot of times you have an idea and then it kind of shifts as you develop it more and you work with your collaborators. And I just knew that it was going to celebrate African American women as healers of the community, and that it was going to draw heavily from the Black church traditions, but also I wanted it to be a tribute in part to the late Dr. Maya Angelou. And Ken and I worked on just the idea for just setting it up. And then we went from there and it evolved. And I love what it has become. Absolutely love it.
Well, Ken, let me ask you, Kenneth Kiesler, who's the director of orchestras here at University of Michigan, also a very well-known conductor. Glad to have you on board this afternoon.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you.
What precipitated your approaching Dr. Okoye for this program?
Well, I had heard about her and her music. She had recently been on campus, actually, for a visit, and I was aware of that, though we didn't meet at that time. And the Detroit Symphony was about to premiere a piece, or maybe had just premiered a piece called Black Bottom, prior to when we spoke. And so I started this project to commission 10 new works by Black composers over a 10-year period, one every year for 10 years. And I was looking, the first piece, because the composer had a short time to write it, was going to be about 5 to 7 minutes long. It turned out to be 8.5. And the next one for the second year, 25 minutes. So I was looking farther out, and I thought, in the third year, or the fourth year, I'd like to have a major work that fills an entire concert, that makes a statement, that's an important work after the pandemic. Hopefully it would be after the pandemic. We didn't know when that would be.
Yeah.
So I reached out to Dr. Okoye, and I asked for this piece. We discussed having a work that would be shorter, having something else with it, but I preferred to have, and we agreed to have, a full evening, something that this would be an event. And I was thinking along the lines of the way I felt when I was a student and I first heard the Bernstein Mass and the kind of collaboration that he had with students working on his later works, and envisioned something like that for Enkiru here at the University of Michigan. So it now has become the fourth of our 10-year commissioned works.
That's fabulous. Well, I want to take a break and listen to a piece of yours, actually, and then we'll come back and talk a little more if you have time.
You can, of course,
stay with us for a minute. This is called Voices Shouting Out. Detroit Symphony Orchestra performing music by Enkiru Okoye here on FM 91.
We've been listening to Voices Shouting Out by Nkiru Okoye, performed by the Detroit Symphony Orchestra. We're coming to you live from FM 91 from the University of Michigan School of Music, Theater, and Dance. I'm Mary Claire Murphy, and just before this piece of music, we were speaking with conductor Kenneth Kiesler and the composer Nkiru Okoye, and we want to welcome you back for just a few more comments this afternoon. Kenneth, maybe if you could tell us, I know you have a recording session coming up this evening, maybe that's a good starting point if you could tell us a little bit about how that's going for you.
Happy to talk about it. We're doing a number of pieces by Nkiru Okoye, who's with us today. And the one we performed last night, we're going to record this evening. It'll be our third recording session to record her works. And this one is a piece called Invitation to a Die-In. And it features the soloist, baritone soloist, Damien Norfleet. The piece is a monodrama, and it tells a story. It's a sung story. And perhaps in Kiro, since I'm here with the composer, I'm loath to talk about the piece. You want to tell us about the piece we're recording tonight? And how did you feel about the performance last night?
Oh, I thought that the performance was amazing. But even if that's not what I felt, you could hear the energy in the audience. They were completely stunned. Mm-hmm. The students showed they were part of this. It's performance art. And so the students, probably for the first time, were becoming part of this piece, which is a die-in. And at a certain point, they're all shouting, please don't shoot, please don't shoot. And when you hear all of them doing that, it is terrifying. And then there's also a certain amount of stamping and clapping to imitate an African drumming ensemble. And that also, it's the volume of it when you have, what is about 100 students, mm-hmm. and they're all doing this, the sound is deafening. And the orchestra is transformed into something else. You're not quite sure what it is, but it's not your safe symphony environment anymore. And the soloist, it was just, it was heart-wrenching as he's going through this.
Yeah. Would you tell us what the piece is about?
Oh, absolutely. So Invitation to a Die-In, the name itself, it's a form of social protest, and it is the story of a black man who is unarmed, and it's on his last day. And as he is going through these events that happened, you hear from him, you hear from the police officer, you hear perspective from the parents, and you hear him as he is pleading for his life at the last moments. And it is heart-wrenching, it is terrifying, and it's a statement. One of the things that I had said last night about this is the piece is in honor, in tribute of Trayvon Martin. And we will never, ever have justice for Trayvon Martin, but we can prevent this from happening again.
Mm. What was it like for you when you saw that reaction from the audience? And you see your music being breathed to life and that story coming to life and breaking hearts. Yeah. What is that like for you?
Yeah. It is such, it's an honor. It's humbling. When you're, you know, I get to watch it from the perspective of the audience, and I'm watching these students who have worked so hard in bringing this thing to life. And I get to watch the soloist and, you know, the conductor, and I'm watching how all of these people put this vision into life. I'm also looking at the courage that it takes to program a piece like this, because a lot of people would be afraid of the subject matter, and that was not the case here. And so I was just floored. Some of this also is that I say this, every time this piece is performed, one of my brothers dies. It is very hard to watch this as this actor just drops to the floor. Mm-hmm. But it's also necessary, and it's humbling.
Yeah, and yeah. Kenneth, that you had that courage to program a work like this and ask for, how is it collaborating with Dr. Okoye, and what is that process like?
Well, it's an open, honest, authentic process. I ask a lot of questions. She gives me some answers. She asks me questions. She gives me some instructions. We agree most of the time.
Most of the time.
And when we don't agree, my philosophy is the composer is right. It's her music. And, we conductors are the advocates for the composer in every way. We're advocates on the podium in musical and in artistic ways, and we're advocates off the podium. And one of the missions of this project, the MOORE project, by the way, MOORE is an acronym that stands for Michigan Orchestra Repertoire for Equity. Now, this particular piece is not part of that commission, but the one we're doing this February is part of that commissioning program. And the idea is to shine a spotlight on these extraordinary composers and their works, and to enrich and diversify the repertoire, not only for us to play here, but to do recordings and to spread the word so that other orchestras and other conductors and other communities will have the opportunity to know these pieces. So for me, I don't think of courage involved with this. To me, it's a normal thing to program things that both entertain the audience and uplift and ennoble us and invite us to feel what it is to be human. And all kinds of music do that, whether it's the Verdi Requiem or Invitation to a Dian or a Mozart symphony. They just impact us in different ways. And this is really a theatrical work. It hits us in a different way than simply a piece that we're listening and not watching in the same way. But yeah, this is quite an experience. Mm-hmm. And looking forward to recording it tonight. That'll be a different environment because we'll be aiming for what's in the score.
Yes.
And we do that in any case. But there won't be the visual element. There won't be the audience. We're aiming for the highest quality audio recording that we can get of the piece.
We'll be returning to some more music here shortly, but is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners?
Sure. I'd love to mention a recording that recently came out, which came out on September 8th. It's a recording that we did in 2006. I won't get into the story, but 17 years it took from when we recorded it to when it came out this year. The New York Times had a story about it on the day it came out because it's a landmark recording. It's the first recording ever of 2 one-act operas by James P. Johnson, who was known as the father of stride piano, and he wrote the Charleston. In 1941, he wrote these two operas, De Organizer and The Dreamy Kid. De Organizer was on a text of Langston Hughes, and it was performed only one time in Carnegie Hall in 1940, and for the Ladies' Garment Workers Union, and it was lost. And in 2000-ish, around that time, it was found, a partial score was found here in our collection in the library, because this choral director from the premiere, who also happened to be the chorus director for the premiere of Porgy and Bess, had left her materials to the School of Music. And so we found a partial score, and my colleague, who's my late colleague, James DePogny, reconstructed it from various manuscripts that were found, and we recorded it. So this is the first opportunity for the world to know these two wonderful pieces by James P. Johnson, yeah, African-American composer, Harlem composer, from the 1930s and 40s.
Well, thank you so much for bringing that to our attention. Mm-hmm. And Ankiro, is there anything you would like to share before we return to our music?
I am excited about these pieces and knowing that people like Professor Kiesler is teaching them to students for the next generation. It does my heart good.
Wonderful. We've been speaking with Kenneth Kiesler at the University of Michigan and composer Ankiro Okoye. Thank you so much to both of you for joining us for these few minutes.
What a pleasure. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you.